just saying. But anyway, thank you for that. That was, yeah, we want more, right? Like, we want more of you, Lord. Heavenly Father, just bless these words. Just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we can know of you, Lord. Not just hear about you, not just sing about you, but know about you. Lord, just open the word to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what's that? No, the mic's right here. Oh, do you want me to hold it? Oh, okay. My voice is not deep enough. Got you. Okay. All right, so if you don't mind turning to John 6, please. John chapter 6. I love this passage right here. Starting at verse 60. And prior to that, Jesus is declaring that he is the bread of life. And many of the disciples were saying, man, that's like hard to swallow even. Like, what do you mean you're the life? And here in verse 60, it says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray them. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Title of this message is, do you also want to go away? And here in the conclusion of this, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? In verse 68, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Again, the title of this message is, do you also want to go away? There's going to be some point in your time in ministry, it's not if, it's when, that you're going to come to the realization or start weighing your life and material things or what you have, analyzing how far you've gone, and actually think about stopping. In ministry, you're going to have this point. It's not if. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to not continue. Right? Here Jesus is asking a straight answer. He's like, hey, okay, disciple, do you also want to go away? I've given you words, but do you want to go away? And Peter come with the answer, where else can we go? Like, you have what we want. You have what we're craving for. You have the life that we want to copy or we want to eventually come into. And here, again, Peter answering it, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Like, there's no other route in life. There's no other, there's no plan B, right? Like, life following Christ is the ultimate. It's the most high calling. It's the most satisfying, right? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Ecclesiastes. Please turn there. There's something fresh about this verse. And every time I visit it, I'm like, okay, Lord. Like, what are you trying to communicate? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. In the part A of it, it says, for God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to a man who is good in his sight. So what are the three things? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy, right? Okay. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. All right. So the natural man, what's the two things? Okay. All right. That he may give to who is good before God. This is also vanity and grasping for the wind. So again, with the three things that a man or woman of God receive is wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And the natural man receives only these two things, gathering and collecting. The danger of that is Ecclesiastes 1:8, where it says this: all things are full of labor, and man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So my eyes are not satisfied, nor my ears are satisfied. That's the danger of being in the natural man. That's the danger of pursuing, chasing after the wind. It's kind of a funny concept. Like, we're like catching the wind. We're going to eventually catch it. Like, but in the natural man, this is what we do. We catch these things. Whatever we're pursuing, we're like, Lord, eventually I'm going to get a grasp of it. And then when we get a grasp, we're not satisfied. Why? Why is that? Why is that? And again, the danger of it, right? Being a natural man, not seeing what God has in store for all of us. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this: to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. In the Spanish translation, it says hours. And I love that, like, every second you live in, every moment you're living, you're having a purpose for God. Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is. Let's put it outside of the church. If you're a father, you're a mother, you're a nurse, you're a doctor, whatever it is, we're here to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7. This is our purpose, is to glorify God. That's the only reason. And again, every time that we've lived, every time we breathe, we have a purpose for God. Solomon discovered three things under the sun. One, nothing is new. Two, it's all vanity. And again, three, it's chasing after the wind. These are the three things he discovered. I wish Kelly White was here, because I heard my wife told me this. This is what she said. Solomon was looking under the sun, S-U-N, and found no joy. But beyond the sun, S-O-N, there is joy. And I love those playing words. You know, I work with kids. That's fun. I like that. Like, that's the reality, folks. Because my eye's not satisfied. My ear would never be. So how is it in the under the sun that I'm going to find satisfaction? He set up life like this. Like, we would never find satisfaction in the horizontal, but only to the one in Christ. This is why Christ has to be our all in all. This is why. This is the only reason. Let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter... You still with me? All right. Matthew chapter 20. Let's go there. Matthew 20. Okay. So I'm not trying to alarm anybody, but this is kind of a warning in those in ministry, whatever capacity that is. Matthew chapter 20. And in a parable, Jesus is saying, for the kingdom of heaven is like a land owner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idling in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idling and said to them, why have you been standing here idling all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each denarius. And when they had received it, they complain against the landowner and saying, the last man who have worked only 1 hour and you've made them equal to us, and you have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you, as to you. And it is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or are your eyes evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Again, this is a warning for ministry, those in ministry. This is not, verse 16 is not a salvation verse. It's not a salvation verse. It's actually a discipleship verse. Because if you looked at Matthew 19, 23, Jesus is only talking to his disciples. Now, how is this a warning for those in ministries? Well, let's look here. Verse 1, he's actively seeking laborers. That's what he's doing. He's actively, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers. That's what he does. He's looking for those who will respond to the call. That's the first thing, right? Verse 2, and we know a denarius is a day wage. All right. Verse 3, he went out and about the third hour saw others standing idling. Okay, standing idling. They didn't have a purpose to begin with. God called them and now they have a purpose. All right. So here we go in verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. Here's the natural man want to speak out because natural man, again, wants to gather and collect. And how do I say that? Because here it says, and they complain against the landowner, saying that this last man worked only 1 hour and you made them equal to us. Why? Because their life is only, it's only matters about what they can receive. That's what it is. But here, and again, verse 16, it's talking about the discipleship. It's talking about ministry, right? God is, so the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Like, the life is in ministry. We can go serve God all this. Oh, Lord, I've been serving you so long. And God's like, okay. And we can say even in the end of it, like, Lord, what have we received? Well, you received something. Each person have received something. It says in verse 7, they said to him, because no one hired us, he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Receive what? Receive what? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Receive what? Life more abundantly. Receive what? This is what he's receiving. This is what we are receiving. One, we're continuing to follow in God. But again, warning. So Peter, it's interesting with Peter making that statement. Lord, where else can we go, right? Let's backtrack with Peter and his life, right? He was a Galilean, okay? He was a fisherman, all right? Common man, uneducated, okay? He was married, Matthew 8, 14, all right? He had a family. He was providing for his family. He was nothing wrong in doing that. But Jesus says, follow me to Peter when the first time he met him. Jesus said, follow me. Let's go. Move on from that, and let me take you to another side of what life is supposed to be. Let me take you to another part of what under the sun is living. Let me take you to the satisfaction where your eyes and your ears will be satisfied. Come with me. Follow me. All right? So let's go to John. John, at the end of John, John 21. Again, I said, it's not if that you're to question your call. It's when. When are you going to do it? And here in John 21, Peter is in this scene here, John 21. Jesus comes into the scene. Very familiar spot because it's the same spot that Jesus found Peter in when he told him those words, follow me, leave everything, follow me. In verse 3 of 21, it says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out immediately and got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. And yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. In verse 5, and Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Verse 5, like, children, like, so you're right back, huh? Like, 3.5 years of receiving wisdom, knowledge, and joy. 3.5 years that you've seen my hand. You heard my words. You said that it was eternal words that you're not leaving, that you're deciding not to leave, and you're back? I told you I wanted you to fish for men, not fish for fish, right? Like, this is not what, that's not your purpose. Our natural tendency wants to go into something comfortable, right? Like, Lord, don't test me. I'm in the edge. Lord, I'm right here. I don't want to go beyond the boat now. Like, keep me here. That natural tendency, comfortability. Little children, I didn't want you to fish for fish. Matthew 4:19, it was for men. You have a purpose. You're not idling in this life. You have a call in this life. We have a call in this life. It says in Matthew 12:50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And Mary and Joseph was looking for Jesus at 12 years old. And he responded to like this, do you know I'm about my Father's business? Just imagine a 12-year-old saying that to a mother these days. Like, well, Ma, do you know I'm about my Father's business? She probably like, you're about to catch this belt. That's what you're about to get. No, but this is the reality. Like, we all have a call. We all receiving more than just gathering, collecting. We're doing that too. But there's more to life than that. Amen? There's more than life to that. So what would happen? Let's just paint a picture. What would happen if the fishermen just stayed there, right? In the end of John 21, right? And we know, God can call anybody else. You know, we can even say, like, you know, in the Psalms, it's like God is in heaven. He does what he pleases. I know, right? Like, God's given Peter a ministry for the Gentiles in Acts 10. He doesn't go and Paul really takes over. I know. This instance where God can do that. But let's just think. If they stayed on that shore right after Jesus ascending, right? Right after all that. And they stayed there. You know, and John 21:25 says this. And there are many, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books. And that would be written. Amen. That would be written. So there would be no books written. Not by John. Not by Peter. Not by these men. These Galileans that were called not to stand idling. God's given a purpose. Now after the purpose, they go back to the natural tendency. And they think life is about gathering, collecting. And then that's all they're supposed to be doing. And here God's like, you little children. Like, what are you doing? Like, I didn't die. Yes, I died in your place. But you're taking my place and going around the world. That's what, and then Acts, we know Acts 1, that he's given us the Spirit. But man, like, here they are, going back. Like, imagine, Pastor Stan and Karen was in Peru for 11 years. 11 years. In the first year, Pastor Stan told me, they only had two team members. Him and his wife. Yeah, imagine if they just said, oh, you know what, after this first year, even when it's hard, even when there's discouragement, I'm going to call it quits. We're going to call it quits, right? Well, we don't have Rosie, right? We don't have Rosie in that, the fruit of it, right? We don't have that. Oh, a lot of you said, you guys don't even care about me. Anyway, no, but that's the reality, right? Like, we have a call. Like, yes, God can use anybody, but God's given us a personal call, right? To do what? Not just gather and collect. Not that. No, God's given us wisdom, knowledge, and joy. More into this life, right? More into this life. So the Bible tells me my ear and my eyes will never be satisfied under the sun. S-U-N, right? So why do I place my trust in Christ? Well, I'm not just gathering and collecting. I'm receiving wisdom, knowledge, and joy. That's beyond the sun. Again, S-U-N. Because it's S-O-N that I accept. And when I see that there's satisfaction in what I'm doing, and even though the discouragement will come, and the hardship will come, and Jesus will ask us personally, do you also want to go away? Do you also want to quit your car? Do you also want to stop what you're doing? But there's more to life than what we're doing. And people are like, oh, so is this just about missionaries? And no, it's not about that. It's just knowing that even if I'm working at McDonald's, I'm going to glorify God in a way. Like, I'm going to find my place. We all work in different places, right? Right? Am I right? We all have employment somewhere, right? Do you think that's an accident?
How about we look at it as like, no, this is my mission field, right? Be trained. We have Bible college classes here at night. Take advantage of it. We go on outreach on Saturday, right, Dan? Right, Dexter? We go out. Right, Tony? We go out. Like experience more than just gathering, collecting. Experience life when God's given us wisdom, knowledge, and joy to the fullest. To the fullest. And here Peter is answering, Lord, where else can I go? Like, what else can I be doing? You have the words of eternal life. You have what we're looking for. You have the, like, under this sun, this vanity that we're just chasing. And we're just going. And then once we have it, we're not satisfied. Why? Because life is not meant to be satisfied here. Right? It's not the satisfaction here. Like, our eyes are on Christ. Our eyes are on the cross. Our eyes are on our call and our ministry. And we continue doing it, even when there's discouragement, even when there's hardship. We find ways. We find ways to be involved, right? Tina's in the nursery, right? She's glorifying God. She's coming up at night. I see her at night with her two granddaughters. She's glorifying God, right? Not just a nurse, right? Not just receiving that gathering, collect. No, she has a purpose. She has a life. A life that's more abundant in John 10:10. Lord, please, please, don't ever, like, please guard my heart. You could be naive and like, oh, that'd never be me. I just did 2 years of Bible college. No, that's never be me. No, we be humble and say, God, guard us from that. Guard us from that. Lord, even when I do gather and collect, Lord, let me just continue to give you the glory. Let me continue to not just seek you when you are, like, we want you, but like go after pursuing you in every season of my life, and every moment in my life, and every hour in my life, and every time in my life. Let me pursue you, Lord. Let me pursue you. Amen. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this moment, Lord, where, Lord, you've given us more. You've given us wisdom. You've given us knowledge, and you've given us joy. And, Lord, let it be evident for others to see. Let us not be sour Christians where we're just receiving it and then acting like we're not. And we're acting like we're living this life just gathering, collecting. Lord, our eyes are satisfied and our ears are full of hearing, Lord. We hear words of life, eternal life. Lord, let us all be in that position. When you do question, like when we do question the call, and we can respond like Peter and say, Lord, where else can we go, man? Where else can we go? What else can I do? Just pursuing you is that's brought me here thus far and continue to bring me. Carry me in John 21:18, right? Carry me. You, another one would carry you, right? You walked away when you were younger, but no, now you're maturing in the faith and God is carrying us into eternity. Thank you. Thank you for these words, Lord. Thank you that you have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that you said two words to Peter and he's like, oh, there's power in that. Follow me. There's adventure in that. Follow me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.